Again, tonight, I am the speaker tonight, and I hope everybody's had a great day, a great weekend. This is August 24th. The speaker is Tony McCurry, CBG Tony. And this is my Fruit 26 study, but I'm going to be going over the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And in doing so, you know, it's a faith study. And as you probably kind of picked up through my prayer, that our faith is in Scripture. Our faith is what we believe in Scripture, as what we read and what we understand through the Holy Scripture with the apostles and the prophets. Let's look in Ephesians 5:1-2 to go through my normal mode of operation into my faith study, into my fruit study. But in 1:2 it says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." And we get to 8-10. Say, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable to the Lord." That's our main walk that we are admonished to do on a daily basis, is proving what is acceptable to the Lord, and that's walking in His direction as dear children, and that we walk in love naturally. It says in 15-17, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." And to us, it looks just as evil as it did to Paul, but we know it's not. "Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." And then Ephesians 5:20-21, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." You know, Dr. Mike used to approach saints with the statement, "Hey man, how's your faith?" You know, at first you casually brush it off with "great" or "fantastic" or "like a rock." But when you think back at those in Scripture that faced the real test of faith, you have to sit back and be in awe at their faith, because they put their own families to the test, their own selves to the test, on the messages they received from either God Himself or the prophets or the Spirit or the dreams, relying on messages from God. My next few studies will be practical in scope, as how our faith is secure in believing scriptural truth as always for today's saints, and mostly for myself. How strong is your faith? In Hebrews 11:1, we know verbatim, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And when we look into the Scriptures, those of us that believe every word that's in this Scripture can see the solidity that's involved with that, the substance that's there, because it says so. If it says it, so be it. I believe it. In Old Testament Scripture, faith and faithfulness was tested on Israel and the prophets. The prophets were God's spokespeople to Israel and or the Hebrew nation. The word faith only occurs 3 times in Old Testament Scripture. But faithfulness is used 49 times in Old Testament and 275 in the New Testament. This one, Song of Moses, 30 divine reflections on the period while Israel is Lo-Ami. Times during Scripture when Israel was Lo-Ami was when they did not follow God's command. Those were a period of the minor prophets, especially Hosea. And he said, I will hide my face from them, and I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very froward generation. These are children in whom is no faith. This is Israel. Israel constantly had a problem with having faith, even with their first-hand experiences, being rescued by God from evil kings, forces of nature brought on by their own doubt. We see throughout Scripture the lack of faith with Israel, and see also that in Scripture the first Gentile, Roman centurion in the New Testament, had more faith than Israel. In Matthew 8:10, it speaks of, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, not in Israel." And this is after the centurion came asking Christ to heal his servant. Not a family member, but a servant. Looking at the faith of the prophets, we see that they are part and parcel of the foundation of our faith in Scripture. In Ephesians 2:19-22, we see that, "Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." In 20, "and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye are also builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." That chief cornerstone is 204, that's Akragonias. It's belonging to the extreme corner, the chief corner, the one that holds up the whole shebang, the main brace that holds everything together and in place. We can look back to Romans 16 to get a glimpse of this in the previous dispensation. In 16:25-26, it says, "Now to him that is power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith." The faith in knowing that these are true, that is the faith. That's what God looks for in his saints, the faithful saints. In Luke, we see the law and the prophets in 16:16. It says, "For the law and the prophets were until John, but since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man is pressed into it." So it ceased at that time the kingdom took over, which is Christ. So my study tonight on faith of the prophets and those who would listen is going through the Old Testament with possible all the prophets with a very short dissertation of each, but at least naming each when possible. Now, I'm not going to be able to do this in one study, but if my numbers are right, there are 493 prophets in Old Testament Scripture, and there's no way to name them all. But with some, it's in groups, as we will see. Like I said, I won't be able to go through it all, but I'll go over them in a few studies. Our faith, the one body, is in God, Christ Jesus, our head, and led by the Holy Spirit as directed by Christ in prayer. We see in Ephesians that the household of God is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone, of whom we are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. We can see through the years of study provided by the many speakers that Israel as a nation constantly failed God, and can see why God counted them a low am I, not my people, like today for rejecting Christ as a nation themselves. Foundation of the apostles, Christ being the chief cornerstone, that is, upon their ministry and living example, we compare Matthew 16:18, and I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Peter's confession is the foundation to which Christ referred, not Peter himself being the foundation. He was neither the foundation nor the builder, but Christ himself. The only true foundation was the grand subject of the apostles' ministry and the spring of their life. As one with him and his fellow workers, they too, in a secondary sense, are called foundations. In Revelation 21:14, we see that, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The prophets are joined with them closely, for the expression is here not foundations of the apostles and the prophets, but foundations of the apostles and prophets. For the doctrine of both was essentially one. In 1 Peter 1:10-11, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. In Matthew, Christ is talking to his disciples and comparing the Pharisees to themselves, to the disciples, as seeing and understanding by the prophets. In Matthew 13:15-17, he says, For the people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see these things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. The apostles take precedency in Luke 10:24, for I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Thus he appropriately shows regard to the claims of the Jews and the Gentiles. The prophets representing the old Jewish dispensation, the apostles, the prophets of the new are also included. In Ephesians 3:5 and 4:11 we see that in 3:5, which in other ages was not known unto the sons of men, and it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. In Ephesians 4:11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. So prophets are involved even in the New Testament time period to be for our learning, to help us grow in faith and understand what they, the message that they gave us. These passages imply that the New Testament prophets are not excluded, but the apostles' plain reference to Psalms 118:22, stating that the stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. So that is Christ. The headstone that they refused Christ, but he has become the headstone. The headstone of the corner proves that the Old Testament prophets are prominent throughout. David is called a prophet in Acts 2:3. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that's David, that out of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would rise up Christ to sit on his throne. We can compare also Isaiah 28:16. It says, therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall make haste. Another prophet presented the mind of Paul, which prophecy learns on the earlier one of Jacob. In Genesis 49:24, this is Jacob. But his bow abideth in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. The sense of the context, too, suits this. You were once aliens from the commonwealth of Israel in the time of her Old Testament prophets, but now you are members of the true Israel, built upon the foundation of her New Testament apostles and Old Testament prophets. Paul continually identifies his teaching with that of Israel's old prophets. In Acts 26:22 and Acts 28:23. In Acts 26:22, it says, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. And then in Acts 28:23, and when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded, this is Paul, testifying the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from the morning until evening. The costly foundation stones of the temple is in 1 Kings, being costly. 5:17, and the king commanded that they brought great stones, costly stones, and huge stones, and lay the foundation of the house, typified of the same truth, as compared to Jeremiah 51:26. And they shall not take of thee a stone for a corner, nor a stone of foundation, but shall desolate forever, saith the Lord. The same stone is at once the cornerstone and the foundation stone on which the whole building rests. Paul supposes a stone or a rock so fashioned as to be both at once, supporting the whole as the foundation and in part rising up at the extremities, so as to admit to the side walls meeting it and being united in it as a cornerstone is conspicuous, as was Christ. In 1 Peter 2:6, wherefore also it is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. And in coming in men's way may be stumbled over as the Jews did at Christ, like in Matthew 21:42 and 1 Peter 2:7. Where Matthew 21:42, Jesus said unto them, did ye never read the Scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Christ talking about himself coming from the Old Testament Scriptures. In 1 Peter 2:7, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Again, this is the third time that it's talked about how the builders, which is Israel, disallowed the cornerstone, but it has become the head. A prophet is showing that prediction is only a small part of its meaning. It's God's spokesman or one who speaks for God. I'm going to do two tonight, and the first one, I don't know if it'll be declared a prophet or not, but the first one, well, is Adam. Maybe not though as a prophet, but he talked directly to God and conveyed to Eve God's word, where they both failed of his promises and were kicked out of Eden. All right, we get to Noah. Noah was a prophet in that God spoke to him about the future, and he possibly preached judgment against others. The sons of God took the daughters of men and corrupted the people, creating giants, and God saw the wickedness of man. Now, this leads up to Noah, how God spoke to Noah. And God saw the wickedness of man, and every imaginable thoughts of their hearts were wicked. So God said, I will destroy man and creatures of whom I created. And in Genesis 6:13, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And then Genesis 7:15 and 16, and they went unto Noah into the ark. This is all the animals, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that all went in, and I'm skipping over all the animals going in by sevens and animals going in by twos and the clean animals and the unclean. But they all went into the Noah, into the ark, two of all flesh, and wherein was the breath of life. And they went in, and went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. There was no latches or anything else. The Lord shut and sealed the door that so that it would not open until he decided it was time to open it. So in 9:1-16, it records times when God spoke to Noah directly. And 9:1-7, we're going to say that, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Now this is after the boat has done landed, and or the ark. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air and upon all that moveth upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. and surely your blood of your lives will I require, at the hand of every beast will I require it, and the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man. So flesh of flesh, blood, this is where it starts. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man, and you, be ye thankful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth, and multiply therein. In 9:15-17, and I will remember my covenant. This is his promise that he made Noah and all his people from there out, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow, which is a rainbow, shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, this is the covenant of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. To this day, mankind is looking for proof of the existence of Noah's Ark. Those of us that take the scriptures on faith, believe in every word, and know this is true, substance and evidence, Noah had solid faith, and all his family received reward. In closing tonight, I'm just going to read the Ephesians again. Our faith, the one body, is in God, Christ Jesus our head, led by the Holy Spirit as directed by Christ in prayer. In Ephesians, the household of God is built on the foundations of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, of whom we are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Our faith rests in Christ. Our faith rests in this word. Our faith rests in substance and evidence that we read in scriptures. This is where we get our truth. This is where our hope lies, in the upon heavenlies at the appearing. But I just wanted to go through the Old Testament showing how the prophets were led by God, and some of the kings would listen and some wouldn't. Some died and some didn't. A lot of people died, according to the prophets. And I just thought I would go through each of the prophets and kind of, I don't know, go out of my comfort zone, which is pretty easy to do. Seems like any time I get to try and show you guys anything, I go out of my comfort zone. But this is a student working and studying and seeing what I can put forth and bringing forth God's word. And, you know, I haven't done an in-depth study on the prophets. You know, I've heard Cecil talk about it. All you guys, I've heard you talk about them at times. And there's no way I can do them justice, but I'm just giving the simple student's message and hoping God can give you guys some blessings out of it. And I thank you, and that will be it for tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again, dear Lord, for this day and all that you do. Lord, we ask that you be with all those saints, Lord, that are on our hearts that needed healing touch, a comforting touch. Be with those that are studying, Lord. Be with us and help us, lead us into our studies to deliver messages to the saints. And, Lord, we thank you again, most of all, that you did on the cross and that from before the foundation. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.